Hi, this is the February 19, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for grades 5 and 6. I'm CRIS Radio volunteer Karen Finnegan. On the front cover is a photo of an astronaut crouching down on some rocks and red dirt, and the headline reads, "Welcome to Mars. What would it be like to live on the red planet? A team of volunteers is helping us find out." Space science, Mars on Earth. As you hear this article, think about, would you want to spend a year on Mars? Why or why not? Words to know. Simulate, verb, to imitate or recreate an event or a process, often for study or training. Isolation, noun, the state of being completely apart from other people. Last summer, Nathan Jones packed his bags for a year-long mission on Mars. Well, not exactly. He didn't actually leave Earth. Jones is one of four volunteers who are living in a specially built base at the Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. The goal of the mission, known as CHAPEA, is to simulate what a long stay on Mars would be like. The team is helping NASA, the U.S. Space Agency, prepare to land the first astronauts on the red planet in the 2030s. It makes me really proud to think that I'm helping humans get to the real Mars, Jones says. Building a base. A real mission to Mars would start with a journey that could take about 9 months. Astronauts would have to bring nearly everything they'd need, since they wouldn't be able to rely on deliveries from Earth. One of their first tasks would be using a 3D printer and other tools to build their home base. Though the CHAPEA crew isn't traveling to the red planet, NASA is trying to simulate the experience as close as possible. Their base resembles what one on Mars might look like. It was even built using a 3D printer. It has four small bedrooms, two bathrooms, workstations, and more. The base is smaller than half the size of a basketball court. A year on Mars. The CHAPEA team is dealing with many of the same problems a crew would on Mars. Astronauts who travel to the red planet would be stocked with packaged goods that could last for years. But fresh fruits and vegetables wouldn't survive the trip, so the astronauts would have to grow their own. In November, the CHAPEA crew managed to harvest its first crop of tomatoes and lettuce. Communicating with the outside world is a challenge, too. If Jones or another team member has a question for NASA, they have to wait more than 40 minutes for a response. That's how long it would take to send messages back and forth between Mars and Earth. NASA didn't recreate the brutal outside conditions on Mars, where the average temperature is a frosty minus 81 degrees Fahrenheit. But the CHAPEA base does have a large enclosed, quote, sandbox, unquote, for the team to explore. They also walk for miles on treadmills while wearing virtual reality headsets that display images of the Martian landscape. Before these Mars walks, they put on spacesuits just as real astronauts would on Mars. Far from home. NASA is closely monitoring the CHAPEA crew every step of the way. A big focus is on how the team deals with living in isolation for so long. NASA is also studying how the crew gets along with each other in such a small space. For Jones, the hardest part has been being away from his friends and family. "I really miss them," he explains. Still, Jones is grateful to be part of the mission, which wraps up in July. He hopes to inspire kids to want to travel to Mars in the future. "Maybe someone reading this could even go there someday," Jones says. World history. An ancient army. 50 years ago, archaeologists uncovered an army of clay soldiers in China. What secrets do the statues hold about the past? As you hear this article, think about, why was the discovery of the Terracotta Army so important? Words to know. Legacy. Noun. The lasting impact of a person or thing. Painstaking. Adjective. Requiring great care and effort. Yang Chifa's shovel hit something hard. It was March 1974. The farmer was digging a well in an orchard in central China. He looked down to find that he had struck a piece of clay that looked like a man's head. Yang didn't know it yet, but he had just made one of the greatest archaeological discoveries of all time. He had found a statue of a life-size soldier made of a type of baked clay called terracotta. It turned out to be the first of many. Over the next few decades, archaeologists would uncover an entire army of terracotta warriors in the area. Experts were amazed at how detailed the statues were. No two warriors looked exactly alike. The army, which was built more than 2,200 years ago, was buried in several enormous pits. The soldiers were neatly lined up as if preparing for a battle. They're an incredible record of what an army would have looked like, says historian Jessica Rawson. She's a professor at the University of Oxford in England. Rawson saw the statues up close in 1975 and has visited the site several times since. 50 years after the discovery, researchers are still uncovering new clues about China's ancient clay army. A fierce leader. The statues were found near the tomb of the first emperor of China, Qin Shi Huangdi. He came to power after his father died in 246 BC. Qin was just 13 years old at the time. People came to fear Qin, who was a ruthless leader. He led a massive army that conquered 6 rival kingdoms within 25 years. For the first time, much of the present-day nation of China was united under one ruler. Qin was obsessed with his legacy and believed he would continue to rule in the afterlife. So he ordered the construction of a huge underground palace where he would be buried when he died. It took 700,000 workers more than 30 years to build. The burial site covers about 22 square miles, an area about the size of the island of Manhattan in New York City. It is one of the biggest and most important tombs in the world, says Rawson. Qin ordered workers to build a clay version of his legendary army. These warriors were meant to guard the tomb and protect the emperor from his enemies in the afterlife. Each soldier stands about 6 feet tall and weighs about 600 pounds. Some sit in bronze chariots led by clay horses. Pieces of the past. Qin's terracotta army remained hidden underground for centuries. Since the first clay soldier was found in 1974, archaeologists have excavated or dug up more than 2,000 others. Many were found in pieces, and fragments of different statues ended up together in piles. Experts took on the painstaking job of putting each one back together without a guide for what the figures originally looked like. But the work is far from over. The most recent discovery, in 2022, included 20 statues. Archaeologists think there are about 8,000 warrior statues in all. That means experts could be uncovering the secrets of the terracotta army for years to come. Forever on guard. The warriors were originally brightly painted. Some of the statues' paint wore off during the centuries they were underground. And as archaeologists dug up the first soldiers, the remaining paint quickly flaked away. Now, as soon as new statues are uncovered, a special chemical is applied to preserve as much of the paint as possible. Sculptors painstakingly carved each warrior's unique features by hand, including the faces, hairstyles, and clothing. Archaeologists have uncovered thousands of weapons near the statues. They include metal swords, spears, and arrowheads, as well as wooden crossbows. I'm turning 3. The odds of being born on February 29 are 1 in 1,461. Caroline Conrad was born 12 years ago, but this will only be the 3rd year she's had a real birthday. How's that possible? She was born on February 29, a date that comes around just once every 4 years. Caroline was born in 2012. It was a leap year, when February has 29 days instead of its usual 28. Why the extra day? A year is based on the time Earth takes to orbit the sun. Most years on our calendar are 365 days long, but it actually takes 365 days plus another 6 hours for Earth to complete a trip around the sun. Every 4 years, those 6 hours add up to one extra day. It's added to the end of February, the shortest month. Most years, Caroline and her family choose a random day in February or March for a small birthday celebration. But the 6th grader from Connecticut makes bigger plans when a leap year comes along. This year, she plans to celebrate by going to a rodeo with her friends. It's rare to have a leap day birthday, Caroline says. We like to do something extra special when February 29 is actually on the calendar. Do you know anyone who has a leap day birthday? Picture this. I'm looking at a photo of a lake with some mountains in the background, and in the sky is light and dark green whorls of light called the Northern Lights. Nature's light show. How's this for a nightlight? This award-winning photo by Nicholas Warner shows swirls of glowing green light over Alaska. That dazzling display is known as the Northern Lights, or Aurora Borealis. Auroras are colorful bands of light that are most visible in areas close to Earth's poles. Auroras form when electrically charged particles from the sun crash into gases in Earth's atmosphere. These collisions cause the sky to light up in ribbons of bright colors. Debate it. Should kids have to volunteer? There's good news for kids who clean up parks or help serve food in shelters. A recent study of more than 50,000 kids found that those who did community service were more likely to be in excellent health than non-volunteers. Kids who volunteer are helping the world while also improving their own well-being, says Kevin Lanza. He led the study and is an assistant professor at UT Health Houston School of Public Health. Despite the benefits, Lanza thinks kids shouldn't be forced to volunteer, though they should be encouraged. Others agree. They point out that to volunteer means to do something by choice. Plus, they say, many kids already have schedules packed with homework and activities. But many people say requiring kids to volunteer teaches them about responsibility and may inspire them to try new things. In some states, including Arkansas and Maryland, high school students must complete a certain number of community service hours before they can graduate. Here's what two of our readers think. Isabel Loomis from Massachusetts says yes. Volunteering helps kids learn skills, like how to work well in teams. It also teaches us compassion and shows us that we can make a difference in the world. Many kids might not get that experience if they aren't required to volunteer. I recently helped out in an animal shelter where I read to the animals. I had fun and realized that giving my time is a kind thing to do. Volunteering just once might inspire you to do it again and encourage others to join you. Henry Hister from Washington says no. Kids should only volunteer if they want to. They will get more out of the experience and have a better attitude if volunteering is their choice. Kids who are forced to do a task might not put their all into it. That's kind of how I feel about chores. Kids who are required to do community service might dislike the experience. If that happens, they'd be less likely to volunteer when they're older. That would be bad because so many organizations depend on volunteers. On the last page, there's an infographic about the differences between Mars and Earth. It says, Mars versus Earth. Mars is one of Earth's closest neighbors in our solar system, but the two planets are very different. You might want to ask your parent, teacher, or guardian to help you with the questions related to it. There are also questions related to the rest of the issue that you can ask for help with. That completes the February 19, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for grades 5 and 6. I'm Karen Finnegan. So long until next time.